Blog Talk Radio.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the line that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. Drew Merchant will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads. And straightened heads are going to be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle with Sean Quali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. It is an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this platform that we call Black Power Radio. Open up giving thanks to the black God, the God of our forefathers and foremothers. Thankful for all of our freedom fighters and our strugglers and all of those who helped us to be where we are today. giving thanks to the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, on whose foundation we stand, and giving great thanks to our National Chairman, the Attorney at War and Defiant Giant, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our National Chairman, for pushing forward and persevering and making this thing possible by the grace and help of God. And so we're open tonight, telling you tonight that our brother, our National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim Nzinga, will be hosting this radio broadcast, as we know that Minister King Samir Shabazz, National Field Marshal, is locked down right now. Locked down, and he'll be talking about that and other things, talking on the topic of the history of the Million Youth March. Is history repeating itself? Also, we have other guests on. Our brother Muhammad, Richard Muhammad, who is on, will be with us, and so much more. And so we want to not waste any time. We also are expecting to hear from our sister Fayla, I believe her name is how you say her name, Sister Fayla, from Atlanta, GA, who will be helping promote and push the Million Youth March 2013 15-year anniversary. And so we'll let you know when she comes on. But in the meantime, in between time, I want to go right into the broadcast and welcome in our brother, our National Chief of Staff of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir.
You've been doing an awesome job. You've been standing strong and so many, so much weight on your shoulders, and I'm glad you don't even notice it. You just keep stepping. I'm glad to be on the now famous and legendary Black Power Radio. I want to say this agenda tonight is an agenda that the world, the international world, needs to listen to. I'm so glad that our great ancestors, people like the brother who put the transmitter in this computer and never will get the money or the credit, and the brothers who put so much into technology, would have never ever thought that a group like the New Black Panther Party, based here out of America, could broadcast all over the world and not need CNN, not need Fox, not need NBC, not need these other powerful networks that are controlled by other than us, that end up trying to always tell his story instead of our story. So I'm glad to be the host tonight on Black Power Radio, and call your friends and tell them to call 646-478-4447 and get in on this conversation. We have to start it off by giving Almighty God his grace and mercy, has protected us through the storms. His angels, heavenly angels and war angels, have navigated us through this hell course maze called America. And I see the top headlines today is they're going, taking away the voting rights of the black man and giving the gay rights to vote. That's our Supreme Court. That's their Supreme Court. That's your Clarence Thomas. We want to know, we want the listening audience to understand that this Trayvon Martin case is a hot topic. We're going to let this attorney general, this bold black attorney general, Eric Holder, do his job. I hope he do it well. Now, of course, you're used to hearing tonight from our great minister, National Field Marshal, King Samir. And there's a lot of talk about King Samir, and he's in the headlines again. But I want everyone on this wave of radio, enemies and friends, FBI and Black Panthers, and others, to know that King Samir is loved, protected, prayed for, and prayed up by this organization that we call the New Black Panther Party. I've read a lot of comments. I see the news is doing its Jews news. but we want people to know that it take a bold black man to go into New York with our national chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and to try, by all means, to protect our brother's life. And for all the soldiers, New Black Panther Party, and others who are out there that have permits, that have paperwork, that are correct in this state, in this country, at this time, you get on board and you call us. Don't sit and tweet her and sit behind computers and Facebook and email. You call us, our national number at 240-464-1560. If you're legal in America and you're out there and you're a man of defense, call us at 240-464-1560. We're looking for a few good man. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. King Samir is one of those few workers. And so people want to stand behind the fence now and throw rocks. But he will go down in history as one of the boldest black military men in history because of his courage. Of his courage to get on that plane and go to South Africa and stand next to the chairman and make sure nobody even whispered loud at the chairman. He goes to New York bold, and he goes in his mind and in his psyche, in his God-fearing mind, that I have to protect the chairman by any mean necessary. So for all of you people out there talking noise, I'll tell you in the word and in the spirit of the late, great, honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, step off, sissy, and leave our brother alone. And we're going to raise money. And we're going to beat that Jew system. And we're going to bring our brother home. And then they knew in Florida, as they attacked our brother Mikhail Muhammad and got him locked down, they knew he was terrorizing this Trayvon Martin case. And so it wasn't so, it didn't happen. It was just so convenient that all of a sudden a female would turn against our brother, just like throughout history it has happened. And now our brother is locked down on some trumped up and small petty charges. But the news blew it up like we're destroying the world. But yet it's still in the headlines on Monday. The cracker that brought down America to his knees, the cracker that sent America into a crisis, the cracker out of Houston, Texas that ran Enron, they gave this cracker something like 24 years for stealing billions of dollars. And they'll give a black man life for $1 million. And then the cracker's going to get out 10 years early because he did some kind of plea bargain and some kind of mysterious plea bargain. And so this cracker can destroy America and break banks. And he will walk out a white man and go back to his Ferrari and his Phantom and go on by his business. This is the injustice justice system in America, and they want to make clowns and buffoons of a New Black Panther Party group that is being attacked by the FBI, being attacked by all kinds of federal agencies because we're standing up for the least of God's people. But I tell you, like the Bible writes, we're righteous and the meek shall inherit the earth. We shall be standing at the end. So we want everybody to know that we will be raising money for our brothers that's locked down. And throughout the broadcast, we'll be giving you a way to send money to help the legal defense funds and the Black Lawyers for Justice, our attorney warrior at war, to help our brothers that are locked down, King Samir, Mikhail Muhammad, and our little young brother Hannibal there in New York in the dungeons. But I see light in those dungeons now because there are wise teachers in those dungeons. And as y'all know in the radio listening audience, I just came out of the dungeon after 4 or 5 months, and I was in there teaching like a madman. So we know what to do when we get there. We know what to do when, like, Brother Jamil Amin is down for life, Dr. Malachi York down for life. We know what to do when we get behind walls, too. But the walls were not made for us. That's the slavery institution all over again, which we'll talk about. Now, tonight's topic and agenda is the Million Youth March. Is history repeating itself? We're here standing at the 15th year anniversary of the Million Youth March, going back to Black Harlem, State Office Building Plaza on 125th Street at Adam Clayton Powell. And this time we're going to bring a new twist to it. The Million Youth March will be, as y'all know, September 7th. But before that, starting early at September 5th, we're bringing you the National Black Family Convention. And we're going to talk about the National Black Family Convention, and we're going to talk about this 15th anniversary of the Million Youth March. But before we can talk about that, we got to talk about the foundation and the history of this march and why it would be slightly different and more effective, and the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad wanted to be more effective 15 years later. Our national chairman has stood up strong, carried the new Black Panther Party on his back, took us into Africa, has kept us all over the country, making us relevant with the soldiers that stand up. I say and I applaud all the new Black Panther Party family that has been standing up and keep standing up. The new Million Youth March, some of the topics we will be dealing with tonight, so briefly outlined, some of them by our national chairman. Number one, Black power. Number two, better education. Number three, Black love. Number four, a national truce. And number five, Black unity. So, a little history of the Million Youth March. I remember back in 1995, when we were on the grounds with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, me and Attorney Malik Lou Shabazz and a couple of others, we were looking toward the stage, and on that stage, we were looking at the Million Man March. And we were surrounded by some 1,200,000 to 300,000 Black men on a Monday in Washington, D.C., in America. To this date, from 1776, when this country was started, to this date, that has been the largest march ever held in Washington, D.C., and they have to give the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who the Jews knew have taught people he was a hate monger and kept Black people separated from him. But that man pulled that Million Man March together and brought on our sisters, people like Rosie Parks, speaking at the Million Man March. But on that march and on that day, would Dr. Khalid Muhammad have tears rolling from his eyes because he was so excited and so emotional because he was looking at something he had dreamed to look at. Over 1,300,000 or 1,400,000 Black men in unity, making pledges to do the right thing for the Black nation, for their families, and for their children. It overwhelmed him. And then, as we know, Sister Felicici Clay went on to Philadelphia to bring us the Million Woman March, another beautiful outing for Black people. But old Dr. Khalid Muhammad started to think. And then all of a sudden they started talking about a Million Family March. But Dr. Khalid Muhammad said the Black youth must have their day. The Black youth must not be used just for photo ops. The Black youth must have their day. And he went to organizing what we know now as the Million Youth March to give young Black professors, young Black intellectuals, young Black straight-A students, young Black students from all over the world a stage to show their talent in entertainment, to show their talent on the streets of survival in New York, Chicago, Detroit. And he brought before the world one of the greatest days Harlem has ever seen to this day. And I would tell anybody to go look it up. Google it and look at that Million Youth March. Look at all the speakers and all the lectures and the New York Harlem Bar Choir. We had everybody there. Even old Al Sharpton came through. And I remember Dr. Khalid Muhammad getting with our national chairman now, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, putting our heads together. And we came up with a plan. And I'm telling you, everything got in the way of that plan. There was no 2 million man marches. There was no 2 million woman marches. There was no 2 million family marches. But all of a sudden, because Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was so bold and black and somewhat controversial, all of a sudden popped up another Million Youth March in Atlanta, Georgia. So we had to fight off telling people there was 2 million youth marches. So we had to roll with it. And a lot of the heavyweights came to Atlanta, and Atlanta was somewhere in the area 1,500 strong, God bless them. But out there in New York and Harlem in them streets, with them blocking the subways, with them not letting the youth come and flow like they supposed to flow, we put 30, 40,000 people in them streets of New York and in that city that day. Buses came from everywhere, and we shut Harlem down. And I want to thank God for bringing us people like Steve Harvey, people like Viola Plummer, people like Master P, people like Greg Street, people like Como Cottrell. So many people pumped that thing up. Dead Prez, Wu-Tang Clan, all kinds of people started getting on board, helping us bring that Million Youth March to New York in 1998. And now, 2001, Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad made a spiritual transition. And here we are with open arms in respect of our general. This day will be honoring the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, whose name will never, never be silenced as long as I'm breathing. And we will bring his Million Youth March with our leadership, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the committees to Harlem, State Office Building Plaza, September 7th, 125th Street, Adam Clayton Powell. And we will add to it, like we said, the National Family Convention. Our agenda is going to be a big one. Our supporters are popping up and springing up all over the country. I was with Brother Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon gave me open arms and gave our chairman open arms and say he will support the Million Youth March. Como Cottrell, Proline Haircare, support the Million Youth March. Mr. Mike Roberts, who y'all heard on Black Talk Radio before, our billionaire friend out of St. Louis, supporting the Million Youth March. Many, many college educators, many bankers supporting the Million Youth March. Brothers who own the black owners of McDonald's supporting the Million Youth March. And I'm going to name some more people in a minute. But, brother, I want to tell y'all, this march is not just a march. This agenda is going to be heavy. And we're going to be popping up by this next show next Wednesday. You will be able to go to www.millionyouthmarch.org. www.millionyouthmarch.org. And www.newblackpanther.org, and you will be able to see the agenda start to form on the Million Youth March website. And we're going to have Black Wall Street bending. We're bringing that Tulsa, Oklahoma 1921 bomb. We're picking the ashes of our people up, and we're going to do some economic development, and we're going to have bending. And if you're listening and you want to bend, call 347-876-0123. Black Wall Street Bending for the Million Youth March. You call 347-876-0123. And our national number for the Million Youth March, if you have any questions, you call 240-464-1560. 240-464-1560. Here we are. Proud national Chief of Staff of the New Black Panther Party. Brother Hashim Nzinga coming to you live out of Atlanta, Georgia, talking about the Bold Million Youth March. And once again, I'm telling you, our supporters are lining up. We're going to have our brother, we know our brother Professor Griffin is going to be with us. We know people like DJ World Famous Greg Street is going to be with us. We know our brother Bun B from Rap-A-Lot Records is going to be with us. We know that Trill Entertainment, Little Trill, going to stand with us. And Webby and others from that Trill fam going to help this be a great day. We know that powerhouse brother Ted Sutton out of Baltimore, Sutton House, going to be with us. We know that brother Chukwuma Lumumba, who's now the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, he gonna come through with us. We're talking about some of the elders now who will set the stage to turn over this march and turn over this stage to our youth. We're talking about people like brother Orlando Brown that used to be on It's So Raven. We're talking about brother Tommy Ford from the Martin Lawrence Show will be on board to help us bring it home as a host, and many, many others. But let's get to the planning of this Million Youth March. As Steve Coakley would say, check the agenda of this Million Youth March. We will be dealing in these youth from all over the country who are voiceless now in America, voiceless. We told them in 1980, we told them in the early 80s, they were making clowns and buffoons of our youth. They show our youth with their media machine before the world as baggy pants thugs, as baggy pants gangbanging thugs, as robbers, as ignorant drop out of school, rob everybody in the neighborhood, carjacking, fools, gang members banging each other, fools, before the world. If you're in South Africa, if you're in the Bahamas, if you're in Jamaica, if you're in Bermuda, if you're somewhere in Zimbabwe or Ghana or England or anywhere in Europe, when you look at the news, you would swear that the black youth in America is the lowest form of the human being on earth, because we don't own the news. We don't own the Jews' news. And the Jews are not the friend of the African in America. He show us before the world looking like damn fools. And we will organize the youth and we will teach them how to stop the mass media attack on the black youth, especially the black male. And the way we would teach them to do that is your Jews news is ran by Colgate. It's ran by Budweiser. It's ran by M&M's. It's ran by Lace Potato Chip. It's ran by Bear Bread. Their advertisers will be told, if you continue to help the Jews news make our youth look like buffoons before the world, we will buy no more your Nike shoes. We will buy no more your Nintendo games. We will buy no more your Cadillacs. We will buy no more your Mazdas. We're going to bring this country to the ground by keeping our $131 billion in worth in our youth pockets and in their banks and in their college funds, and we will leave your merchandise on the shelves of America. We will leave Walmart empty in the parking lot and full as products. So the planning of the Million Youth March to protect the youth and to turn this image around that's been shot before the world for well over now 20-some years, where now they're just incarcerating our youth like damn slavery, because they have no respect for our youth, because the mass media has made this mess of things. And I'm telling you, when you get to Harlem September 7th, you will see the other 87 to 90% of our youth who do graduate from high school, who do graduate from junior high school, who do make B's and A's and honor rolls, who do go to college, who do graduate from college, who do go into these institutions and work and start their own jobs and their entrepreneurs. We will bring them to the stage, and we will show you the 90% of the youth that you never get to see because you're watching the Jews news. And these youth, thank God, and I know Khalid Muhammad is happy to hear this, we won't just go to the stage September 7th and let a bunch of people talk. We will come early, and 4 days before, we will have our National Black Family Convention, and our youth will come in, and we're going to make a government for the Million Youth March. We're going to have a constitution for the Million Youth March. We will have presidents, vice presidents, treasurers, secretaries. We will pass resolutions. And when we come to that stage, we will tell the world what our revolution, what our revolutions are. And our youth, during that 3 days, in those classrooms and in those workshops and listening to very well-to-do brothers and sisters from all around the country educate them, that week we will be talking about college planning, how to do a college checklist in the ninth grade. We will be talking about technology and communication. The youth will be talking about, from that stage, entrepreneurship, owning your own business. We will be talking about the psychology, what is wrong with our mind, where we give every race of people our money, where we give every race of people our respect, and we don't respect ourselves. We will deal with special education in the school systems. Why is the black male pushed to special education? Who are doing these psychological evaluations? And why do we start off behind the eight ball, as they say? Because once you're marked in special education, from there it's all downhill. Excuse me. We will talk about science and math. Our youth will bring a group of people from all over the world, not just in America, youth from all over the world. Not us, but our youth will talk about money management. Our youth will be talking about building a financial branch in the Million Youth March. They will tell you about banking. They will tell you about investing. Our youth will talk about foundations that our younger youth can get scholarships for college and teach them how to go on this website and find the many, 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 many websites where you can get scholarships and you can get yourself into college and you can get a higher education. We will bring information to our youth from other youth on how to make good decisions. Don't get in that car when somebody's going to carjack. Don't get in that car when somebody's going to do a house invasion. We will let the black lawyers for justice teach them their rights. Why? Because we got to stop this mass drive of incarceration of our youth. So we got Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the Black Lawyers for Justice, and he's done a beautiful pamphlet and a beautiful layout on your rights and to keep our youth out of the hands of this criminal justice system. We will be talking about community development, developing and redeveloping our own communities. We will be talking about the 669 mayors of America. We will be putting them through the task of doing a better job with work task forces and programs that will train our youth and take up that idle time. And as we do all of this, this is under the spirit of black power. We need black power. We're talking about scholarships. We're talking about college. We're talking about what? Better education. And we're talking about what else? While we're doing all this, we're going to be talking about how we need to go back to our spirituality, to our God. And that will automatically make us find this third point, black love, start loving each other again. And if we start loving each other again, the fourth point will be easy to capture. And that fourth point is that national truth. Stop the gangbanging among each other, and let's get on the same side of the street and walk hand in hand in black unity. Brother Sean, I would say to you that after September 7th, black America would never be the same, because after September 7th, the Million Youth March would not be just some march. It would be, like I said, a government for black youth. It would be have a constitution, and the website will be up all year long, and we will be letting black youth interface and go back and forward like the Facebook with each other and tell each other where is the best school to go to, where is the best tutors, where is the best planners to go to online for college, where is special education folks to ask the questions. And mainly what we need to do with our youth is make sure that they understand that they have to not spend this money on Nikes, not spend this money on Nintendo. Put that money in college funds. Put that money in the technology in your basement so you can learn and get books and come out of this madness and we can start owning our own business at a young age. Jews do it. Chinese do it. Japanese do it. Can't nobody on this phone get mad at me tonight for talking about Black Power on Black Power Radio and talking about keeping our kids out of the hell holes of America institutions. So you'll be able to go next Wednesday to www.millionyouthmarch.org, and you're going to be amazed when you get to that website. This is nothing new for the New Black Panther Party. This is nothing new for Attorney Malik Shabazz. We bought you National Black Power Conventions. We done bought you all kind of events. We know what we're doing. Trust us. So, brother, I'm going to try to get our guest on. And before I bring him on, I want to tell you he's a powerful brother. He's an educator under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He was a professor at Clark's. He owned his own. He wrote many books, authored many books, and he owned his own publishing company. And he wrote one of the best pieces on reparations. Brother, did you get to pull up that piece he wrote on reparations?
Yes, sir. I pulled the PDF up. I'm trying to scan through it here now.
What was the name of it?
Hold on 1 second, but I'm trying to pull it back up.
No problem. Take your time, and we'll get him on. And
It's called The Movement to Secure Reparations for Blacks in America, An Analysis of Fragmented Models and Methodologies. That's the title. Right. How he's called, his brothers and sisters, his phone line dropped. He'll call back in. You're tuned in right now to Black Power Radio, and as your host for the night, Minister Hashim Nzinga. He is our National Chief of Staff of the New Black Panther Party. He was National Assistant to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He's here with us once again. Here he goes, Mr. Hashim Nzinga. Get back on, Mr. Hashim. All right, Brother Mr. Hashim, are you on with it? I'm having a hard time hearing Minister Hashim. Brother, this is the whole, what is 1 second as we get Minister Hashim Nzinga back on the line. He's going to introduce our guest for the night, Brother Reginald Muhammad, who is a teacher out of Clark Atlanta University. All right, let's see if he's on with us now. All right, Minister Nzinga, you on with us?
Yeah. Brother Sean?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now. Go right ahead.
Okay. Our brother will call in a minute. But, Brother Sean, this is a historical show. Once again, we want to send our prayers to King Samir and his family, and Brother Mikhail Muhammad and his family, and Brother Hannibal and his family. And you know, brother, some people are doing a lot of talk, but what in the hell are they talking about, man? The black man been getting locked up since the beginning of America, man. Nat Turner had to get chased down. Then Mark Vesey had to get chased down. Them some good names. And if they want to get soft on it, Dr. King went to jail many times. He wrote his best work from the Birmingham jail because he was opposed and against this system. Malcolm X learned who he was in jail and became one of the greatest lecturers and leaders of our time. Elijah Muhammad had to go spend some time in the jails of America. Dr. Khalid Muhammad came out of the Atlanta jail system, had to go spend some time. Marcus Garvey had to be deported and go to jail in America. And as you talk about the revolutionaries and the freedom fighters, that's not criminals, but was fighting against the system at odds. How can America call us criminals when they stole us, when they murdered us, when they lynched us, and they're still doing it to this day? And the last New Black Panther Party paper came out. The title of it was The Ballot or the Bullet. And the Supreme Court is about to take the ballot. So America has to deal with the African man here that's upset because the Chinese can come here and get a better handout. The Japanese can come here and get a better handout. Every race of people can come here and get a better handout. And they said in their constitution that we were 3/5 of a. And the presidents of these United States had to sign a damn bill or a proclamation and then had to sign the 13th Amendment to do what? Free the black man. Why were we slaves? Because you stole us. Why did you have to free us? Because you kept us in bondage. You kidnapped us. Don't you dare be talking about Mikhail kidnapping somebody. You're the greatest kidnapper. And don't you dare talk about our brother carrying a gun. You gave the Chinese guns. You gave the Indians guns. You went all of God's world with your guns right out of Britain. So stop talking like guns are something new when you're NRA and these white boys riding around and selling illegal guns all over America. You just done target the damn Black Panther Party, you hypocrites. And so on the back of that newspaper, we had to have a day of action in memory of Trayvon Martin, who was shot down by one of your Klan gun toters, and they better punish him. They better punish him out there in Stanford, Florida, where the Klan chased Jackie Robinson out of that town. That town better get right this week. And we had to do a stop the violence against black youth. Stop the violence against black youth. And so back to the Million Youth March as we wait on our brother to join us.
And we got Sister Fela in queue too.
Okay, if she's in queue, let's do this. Let's bring her on right now. And if you don't mind, while you interview her, I'll go and grab our brother and have him on when we come back home.
All right, sir. We'll do that.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, brothers and sisters, I want to welcome to Black Power Radio our sister out of Georgia, out of Atlanta, I believe, was helping us push the promotions and push on the streets. The Million Youth March 2013, 15-year anniversary, and pushing the importance of this march in general. This is our sister, Sister Fela. Welcome to the radio broadcast, Sister Black Power.
Peace, Black Power. And thank you for having me on. I'm absolutely grand over here. It's a little hot, but I'm working it out.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being on with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved. Give us a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, this is Sister Fela Nazarene, and I'm a transplant from Los Angeles, California, born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I'm here in Decatur, Georgia, which is, a little suburb outside of Atlanta. It's the hood suburb, so. I am an activist. I'm born RBG. I got my flag in the AME church at 5 years old. So, like I said, born, raised RBG. And I consider myself a community liaison and a youth advocate, mother first. And I, dib and dab in film and photography, as well as, of course, journalism. And I'm getting involved in this. I support, of course, the new Black Panther Party and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and everything that you all are doing. Just want to say, obviously, we send out meditations of prayer and justice for Brother Samir. So I'm just definitely a part of the movement and 100% support of what's going on with the Million Youth March. So I'm all aboard and going to work on getting Georgia as well as all of my other affiliates across the nation and wherever else aware of what's going on.
Absolutely. As as Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz has stressed, now is the time to organize and mobilize, and we're pushing closer to September the 7th. Are you taking a role as being a helper in terms of the street campaign, and what exactly will be your role in this mission?
Yes, I'm going to be working with the I also have a blog talk show that's pretty well populated, so I'm going to be working on my blog talk show to promote, as well as doing some, you know, work out here in these streets, as I do anyway. And we're going to centrally mobilize here to get some buses going from Georgia up to New York. So those are the things that I'm doing, working on the network media campaign, and seeing about some community radio exposure, things of that nature. So that's where I am with it.
Absolutely. Why do you think it's important now to mobilize, in your opinion? Why is the push for the youth of so much importance now at this time?
Because first of all, we got to make sure that our youth have knowledge of self and an individual self, not this big grandeur, all of us are the same. No, we're not. You individually need to know who you are, what you stand for, and the youth are going to be the ones who are truly spearheading this movement. You know what I mean? So we, as the seniors and the elders in the community, must teach our youth, must get our youth informed as to who they are and what they're facing in this country, because as in the 60s and the 70s, the youth were leading these marches, and the youth were leading in the struggle for justice. And, you know, we've not done much, but we've done a little, and now it's time to do the most that we could possibly do to teach our youth and secure our youth and give them I hate to say ammunition, but yeah, give them the ammunition that they need to, you know, dead this system, and bring forth some real change. And you know what I'm saying? We talk about change, and we know revolution and change, but the youth are going to be the ones. And when you put, you have to give them the necessary tools, because they are going to be the ones, and they have to be able to go further than what we've done. And so that's our job, to make sure that we secure them and allow them to do the work that they're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Sister Oprah Winfrey did a documentary on dark girls, and they were documenting the cases of dark-skinned young black girls who have a case of self-hatred, or they prefer light-skinned images. Could you speak to that as a black female in the House of North America? Is there something that we can do to uplift the black woman, no matter what complexion, but in particular the dark-skinned black female, to love self in this hour, in particular our youth?
You know what? It's so funny, because I was just speaking on that. I don't know if you saw that, or somebody saw that, and that's why you asked me that. But that's what I've been dealing with. I've been dealing with this for the last 15 years in this so-called, quote-unquote, conscious community. I'm a dark-skinned sister, and a lot of times I've noticed over the course of the years in the hip-hop community, as well as the so-called conscious community and the activism circles and whatnot, I'm pushed to the back. And they always seem to secure a light-skinned person to say what Fela says, you know. And so what we're going to have to do is stop blaming white supremacy and other people for the fact that we ourselves are putting up this propaganda of, okay, it's okay for the dark-skinned person to say what they're going to say to us, but then we need a light-skinned person to pacify. Who are we pacifying at this point? We need to stop fronting and confront this self-hate, because it's not the dark-skinned women that hate this. I love me, okay? That's 100%. I've never, I mean, my first vision of a beautiful black man was a dark-skinned man. So every man that I ever see in general that is dark-skinned, because I was raised to love me, and my daddy is dark-skinned, my granddaddy's dark-skinned, and these are, in my opinion and in my view and in my, they're beautiful people. I never had the self-hate. What I saw was a lot of people hating me. And like I said, on usury, it's one thing to use somebody for their purpose, but usury and want to take my voice and take my works and take my wisdom, but leave me out because I'm too dark, that ain't white supremacy. That's niggas hating niggas. Okay, so we're going to have to deal with that within ourselves, within our circle. We have to deal with it. We have to stop saying it doesn't exist. We have to stop talking about we don't. I mean, you do the doll test right now in 2013, and the little children are still pulling the white doll or the lighter doll. That's not anything but the home. telling them that. You can't keep blaming everybody else. When you sit in your home and you show favoritism towards your child who has lighter skin or curlier hair or whatever the hell you putting out there that, you know, is supposed to be quote-unquote beautiful, you are the issue, not white supremacy. You are the issue. And that's what I have a problem with. That's what I see. And, again, we're going to have to start cleaning house. We're going to have to start saying these are the things that we adults have to confront. I mean, if it's just a matter of talking about it, we need to talk about it. But we can't pass this on to the next generation. I refuse. I have children that are three shades of black in my house, and I'll be damned if any of them, I don't allow people to come into my home. I mean, I have to deal with a daughter that's brown skin and a daughter that's a light. You know, she's not light skin, but she's lighter than my brown skin daughter, okay? And I would have niggas, not no white folk coming up to my daughters with look past my beautiful chocolate daughter, straight to the little girl, to the more caramel daughter, and tell her how pretty she is. You know what that did to my daughter until I started short-stopping these niggas. If you ain't got nothing positive and beautiful to say to both of these children or all three of these children, don't say shit to my children. Nothing. Okay? And again, these are not white folks I'm talking about. I'm talking about us. So until we confront the issues, accept that we got some self-hate period going on and we have to reteach and rethink our own selves as adults, you know, we can't confront the issue and we can't deal with it and we can't pass, and we definitely don't have the right to pass on that kind of a tainted legacy to our youth. So, again, in my opinion, it's us. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to stop pretending like it's not the fact. We're going to have to stop doing this, oh, we got to have a light skin, or, oh, she's so beautiful because she light skin, and, oh, the dark-skinned sisters got to be half-naked with their breasts out in order for you to pay them some attention. We got to deal with that, and we got to confront it before we can do it.
Absolutely excellent answer. Plug us your radio show. We got to push forward. Well, plug this your radio show. Tell us when we can hear you. Check you out. We definitely got to have you back on Black Power Radio to give you a full-length interview. But what time does your show come on?
I do my show pretty much on Thursdays. Again, I schedule mine sporadically, but you can always check out the archives. It's Blog Talk Radio, Black to Eden. And it's just like it sounds, Black to Eden. And, you know, there are plenty of archive shows. And if you actually follow me, then I can, you know, you'll get the emails as to when some shows are coming up. But I usually do it once or twice a month, Thursday. Sometimes I do impromptu Monday shows. So that's Black to Eden. So blogtalkradio.com/Black to Eden. And it's Sister Fela Nazarene.
All right, my sister Faye Nazarene, appreciate you so much. Thank you for being on with us. I hope you enjoy the rest of the broadcast. And thank you for the work that you're putting in, whatever you've done already and whatever that you will do. Of course, we'll be hearing from you again to get updates. But thank you for getting on board and helping the Youth March Committee and help us get this word out. We appreciate you, sister, so much.
Absolutely, and thank you. All right.
Peace and black power.
All right, that was awesome.
Black power. Bless.
Miss,
we appreciate
you ready?
That. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to roll right back into this agenda. Well, Reginald Muhammad, I guess, was in transit. When he click in, I'll bring him in. But right now, we got so much to talk about with this great feeling I'm feeling about September 7th in Harlem, New York, where Adam Clayton Powell and where our greats like Shirley Chisholm and John Henry Clark and Amos Wilson and so many made Harlem the town to be in. Malcolm X, Mosque Number 7, Harlem. We're going back to Harlem, shutting down Bill Clinton's office and getting in the Harlem street with the Million Youth March. And let me say this, brother, and to the listening audience, and let's be clear, we're not having no mess. We're going to be respected. And I'm talking about from our institutions and the corporations of America. This is what I'm saying, brother. Our youth spend just as much money as any other youth on M&M, Lace Potato Chips, Coke, Pepsi, Sprite, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, and all the rest of this stuff, Target, Walmart, and all of these people, we're going to be asking that they help sponsor this march for our youth. Their parents deal with Wells Fargo Bank, Bank of America, MasterCard, United Way, Coke, SunTrust. We're not just going to be going to blacks to help support the financial needs of this march. We're going to be going to these white institutions and white CEOs and demand that they give these black youth some of that money that they give to all of these white nonprofits and these white organizations who do things similar to this march. And this march will have substance. So we're not going to let the whites off the hook who has used capitalism to build their communities outside our communities with our money, and we're not going to be bold enough to go to them and stand strong with dignity, not begging, but telling them they owe us. And we don't want to get into reparations, but we will get into responsibility of capitalist corporations coming back to the community and help us straighten up this mess out here that half them corporations has caused. And we're going to have an agenda, like we said. We're not just going to have a march for the listening audience, September 7th in Harlem. We're going to come September 5th, and we're going to have a National Black Family Convention, and it's going to be dealing with so many topics. And we're focusing on black power, better education, black love, national truth, and black unity. And we're going to be dealing in our youth. Let's be clear. This agenda and this stage in this college will be set up to give our youth a platform that they cannot get in America unless they're in the black church or the black school. We're talking about giving them the opportunity to talk before the world in somewhat of a world summit and be able to plead their case to the world. We're talking about policies, and we're talking about national policies. We're talking about our youth who are brilliant, who are graduating from these colleges, Howard and Clark and Morehouse and Spelman and Grambling and all over the world, and even from the white colleges, Duke and Berkeley and Harvard, and they're graduating in the health areas. They're graduating in the green, turning cities green. That's our youth in them science labs coming up with ideas to make America green. We need this campaign to shine and let the youth who have been at work, been organizing, been doing well, finally get a chance to shine before the world. And, brother, I'm telling you, this march is going to deal with a higher education. It's going to deal with equal opportunity for higher education, because they're trying to make all of our gains when we came under affirmative action, when we can get into colleges. Now the white people will have affirmative action if we don't watch it. Even though it's 300 million people in America, we're only 15%. They trying to act like now we're the majority. We're not no majority. So we got to watch our youth and not let their voting rights get taken away, not letting their so many opportunities that Ida to be well and Surge on the Truth and so many died for to get our kids into these colleges. We can't let these scholarships go to the other side of town. And we're going to be dealing with telecommunications, and we're going to have our youth from Grambling and Morehouse and different colleges come in and talk about minority media and their new ideas on these websites and getting our own TVs up through the internet. We're going to have our youth bringing national policies and checking out closely politics. Why? Because our youth, unlike I was when I was a youth, they have a black chief commander, a black president, and we want to see what these youth after our convention have to say from the Million Youth March stage to their chief commander and their president of the United States. And when we're talking about mass incarceration of our youth, we want to see what these youth got to say after their 4 days of putting their heads together and coming up with resolutions and a government of constitution. I want to see their decisions, not ours, their decisions and the information they want to give to the attorney general first black attorney general of the United States. I want to see the information and their decisions on how they want to talk to him so they can be more respected. This march, we'll be talking about training initiatives for our youth. It will be talking about health and managing health, our youth getting the proper health care, and how much are we going to get out of this bill and this trillions of dollars Obama is finna put into health. We talked about our children are going to be that day, young children listening to older youth, telling them how to make better decisions in their lives, because we're going to have some youth that made the right decisions. And we're going to have youth to come up with their ideas and teach us and tell us what do they think and which way we should head in the community and developing and redeveloping our communities. And we're going to get some of our young entrepreneurs, young millionaire entrepreneurs on that stage to talk to those youth about I'm a young millionaire at 26, at 25. And we're going to talk about higher education. But also, brother, on that day, we're going to challenge this 669 black mayors all around the United States, each one of them to send a bus from their city into Harlem, New York. I will be having a meeting with the executive director and CEO of the National Conference of Black Mayors tomorrow. And I will be asking Vanessa Williams to send a letter and an email to all 669 black mayors and tell them to promise us one bus each of youth that will be heading toward Harlem September 7th, September 5th for the Black Family Convention. Send your brightest, send your best. And then we're not just getting the brightest and the best, because we know some of our youth have left school because it wasn't teaching them nothing. Some of them left school, like what the sister said, because they were made fun of, they were bullied, and they end up with not the best education, but that don't mean their mind wasn't bright. Malcolm dropped out of school in 7th or 8th grade with straight A's. Elijah dropped out of school in 4th grade. I know many of our most brilliant don't have the PhDs and the master's degrees, so don't think we're getting it mixed up on Black Power Radio. We know some of our capital giants and our entrepreneur giants have did it on those street corners, selling some hats or T-shirts and some water. So we're not talking about just all our youth with PhDs and different degrees. We're talking about our youth, period. We're talking about on that day with the Million Youth March, we're going to bring up AIDS awareness. We're going to bring up diabetes. We're going to bring up high blood pressure. We're going to bring up all the things that hinder our youth in the health area that millions of us die for when we shouldn't have to. And so this September 7th is going to challenge America. It's going to challenge the institutions of America. It's going to challenge the government of America. It's going to challenge the mayors in America. It's going to challenge the politicians. It's going to challenge the news writers, the black news papers. It's going to challenge the black radio and the black radio DJs. We're going to challenge the people who control communication and technology to push with Attorney Malik Doodle Shabazz and the New Black Panther Party for the 15th anniversary of the Million Youth March. And whoever make bad decisions and decide that they don't have the initiative to help us help our youth, then we will punish them. We will not buy their products. We will not support their radio stations. We will not support their ads. We will not support their institutions. And we will be calling them out on that Million Youth March website, which be www.millionyouthmarch.org or www.newblackpanther.org, that will be going to the Million Youth March. And Black Power Radio on Mondays and Wednesdays will be roaring Million Youth March. And we will be roaring to free King Samir, free Mikhail Muhammad, and free Brother Hannibal. And once again, for you all listening in the radio audience, and before we take some questions, because our guests hadn't called in yet, we want to talk about one more time, Black Wall Street. We got vending available for the Million Youth March. You need to call 347-876-0123. 347-876-0123. And if after this radio, broadcast. If you have any questions about the Million Youth March, about opportunities, or you got some bus that you want to put together, or you got some finance you want to help us with, you can call 240-464-1560. And Brother Sean, could you give the PayPal? If somebody want to give money to help this mighty Million Youth March or help our brothers who are incarcerated now, they need to send that PayPal to, what is that information?
Attorney.Shabazz. If you're interested in giving monies towards helping friends, Minister King, Samir Shabazz, any of our brothers locked down, or the Million Youth March 2013, go to paypal.com and email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. That's paypal.com. The email is attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com, and the link will soon be up on the website.
Thank you so much, brother. So, listening audience, we're telling you, this is our hour. This is our time. No one is going to help us build a foundation for our new youth so they can have a new day but us. This Million Youth March agenda is for the black community to show now that we have developed and always had character. We have always taking care of our responsibilities. We have always used every opportunity from since slavery to pull ourselves up by our bootstrap. Now we need to show the world and display before the world our youth who haven't had their chance in the spotlight in many, many years, and show the power that our youth have. And the main objective of this endure is not for selfish reasons. We ain't doing this event for some hype because we don't have nothing to do. We're doing this event for the dignity of our youth. And the convening partners with the Million Youth March, we will have many. And on the website by next Wednesday, you're going to be shocked when you go to it and realize the stockholders and the opportunity and the vision that long-standing traditional partners of ours will be putting in and using their names, their radio stations, their newspapers, and their voices, rappers, black business owners, young educators, bankers, institutions of higher learning will be on that website, increasingly exposing themselves and engaging themselves to help this Million Youth March put our young people in a position of growth and prosperity. So we're looking for a brighter future for our youth, and we want to make sure everybody know that what they've been, that what they've been seeing on TV and what they've been focusing on, the negative, is not the experience of our youth. We got some unique youth. We got some unique young people who are making history as we speak, who hadn't had the platform or the spotlight to voice their opinion, to say their speeches, to show you their gold medals, to show you their awards, to show you how many of our youth are working in Fortune 500 companies, how many of our youth are principals, how many of our youth are going back to their communities, teaching school from the community that they came out of. How many of our youth are investing as entrepreneurs? How many of our youth are traveling abroad? And how many of our youth got their own magazine, their own radio shows, their own businesses, their own books? We got a bunch of young youth that are authors, that write books. We will be displaying at the Million Youth March. We will give them an opportunity to go before the world and set the record straight that our youth are in power. Our youth are not homeless. Our youth are not all in jail. Our youth are not tired. Our youth are not all dropouts. We will acknowledge and show you what you've been missing. So, Brother Sean, if we got any callers, we'll take the calls.
Okay. The number to call here, code 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We'll take our first call here. Area code 214-442. 214-442. You're on live. We're talking to Minister Hashim and Zynga, talking about the history of the Million Youth March. It's history repeating itself and a lot of other topics. Give us your comment, your question. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, baby. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
All right, this is the lady, signed out from the Lady Silent Partner Label and Studio in Dallas, Texas. Want to say hi. I'm listening. What y'all up to?
I love it. You got your radio going and you listening. We appreciate you, sister. We're up to empowering the black youth. We're up to showing the world that the black youth have been responsible in their communities, that we have character, convening a bunch of black youth from all over the world to show they have dignity, that they have power, economic power. They have planned, they have followed their plan, they have graduated from colleges. They understand what's going on, and we're going to give them an opportunity to be displayed before the world, and we hope you be part of it.
Uh-huh. Have you heard any Keisha Mears' new music?
Excuse me?
On Spotify? Have you heard any of Keisha Mears' new music? I'm sorry, on Reverb?
You playing King Samir music?
No, I'm not. I've listened to it, and I really like it. You like it?
Yeah, he's a very, very talented person that's misunderstood by some, but we who love him understand his plight and support him totally.
You are going to be playing his music at the event?
Yeah, the event, the Million Youth March, if you go to next week, if you go to www.millionyouthmarch.org, what you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing who supports Million Youth March. You're going to start seeing dates, and then we'll start filling in.
I already have the information, sweetie. I've been following King Samir a long time. And
oh, that's
like
a great thing.
Party and some other information. I already have that information, though. But which song is your favorite by King Samir?
Hear me say it again?
Which song is your favorite by King Samir? Just a personal question.
I like all his music because his music is very conscious, and each song he did has a different message. But I really like all of it. I got all of it online, and we trying to push it harder now than ever before.
So, you would allow the youth to listen to you, King Samir songs such as Warrior? I think it goes real hard. It's real nice. It would work as the new Black Panther. On the CD for his stuff coming out.
We look forward to it because the new Black Panther Party, as we convene September 7th in New York and Harlem, we will also be teaching young people entrepreneurship, but we will also be coming out strong with our own line of music, which King Samir is pretty well over that department, and we will be bringing out our own line of clothes, calendars, and we will be doing a 15th year anniversary
book in the spirit of Dr. Khalid Muhammad
that you will be seeing soon.
I like the black one that has the circle with New Black Panther Party on it that's on Frank's Facebook page. I like that one. It's real nice.
Well, and we appreciate you, sister. We think we're gonna be in Dallas this weekend.
All right, sis, we got to get to some more callers here, sis. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Black Power, have a nice day.
Black Power.
Black Power. All right. Next caller here, area code 347-218. 347-218. You're on live with Black Power Radio and National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim Adinga. Question, comment, Black Power, go for it.
Black Power, this is Brother Supreme from Queens, New York, New York chapter of New Black Panther Party. We're really pushing that agenda. We're really pushing that agenda, the Million Youth March. And I'm really looking forward to September 7th, and I will be in attendance pushing that. It's very important. The youth are, the black youth are being, you know, persecuted all over the world, you know, by these devils. These devils are putting out these different, you know, these videos, these rappers are putting out. Some of them, I'm not saying, oh, we have some conscious rappers out there, but the ones that are putting out nonsense, and it's, you know, they're pointing, you know, it's a lot of negative things going out there with our black youth, and that hopefully that will be addressed at the Million Youth March, and I will be there suited and booted and ready to push this agenda and free King Samir, Brother Hannibal, and the other brother they was talking about. I don't know his name. The other brother, the three brother MB. Yeah, brother. I'm sorry. Brother, what's his name?
Brother Mikhail Muhammad,
and free all the political prisoners that are being held in prison for their different beliefs and for standing up for the rights of black people in America, in North America. And Black Power and Sean Qualley, I still want to get, you know, get to you about the application too, you know, as soon as you get a chance. All right, Black Power, all power to the people.
Black Power.
Black Power. Bro, I got
Brother
you,
Sean.
Black man.
Brother,
yes, sir.
Sean.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Telling you,
yeah.
I'll never forget me and Malik, Dr. Collett, walking out and seeing the big banner go up, Million Youth March, and when we was in Harlem, and seeing that piece of paper being taped to the microphone, No Limit Records, thanks to Master P. And I would say, since we're talking about is history repeating itself, the reason I said that, I want to say yes, history is repeating itself, because what made the Million Youth March work in 1998 was young black professionals, young black entertainers, athletes. They came to us and they supported us financially, and it's going to repeat itself. And I promise you give us, me and Attorney Shabazz, 2 weeks, and we will have a financial foundation, and nobody going to be able to stop this march. And I'm talking to our enemies now. We don't need you, but you're going to help finance this, because you and your enterprises and your capitalistic ways make us poor, because our community spends all its money with you. And we're going to be writing a letter from the national chairman's law firm to ask for donations for this Million Youth March. And you will be wise, and your financial institutions will be wise to give a donation to this Million Youth March. Or we're going to teach our youth that day to leave your products on the shelves of America, because we got young entrepreneurs, and we're going to teach our youth at the round tables of the convention. And you got to remember this convention, this black convention, this National Black Family Convention, is going to be the powerhouse of the whole march, Thursday, the 5th through the 8th. Black Power Convention, where we'll be breaking down on the website, and we'll be breaking down the different structure of it on the website, and letting people sign up for different classes, from finance to education to entrepreneurship to communication and technology. And we will build our own government constitution, and we're going to come out with some resolutions out of that family convention. But we want to also tell the new Black Panther Party members and the world that our entrepreneurship program has started. And before the show is over, Brother Sean, I want you to give Brother Mike's number and let people know by buying new Black Panther hats, new Black Panther T-shirts. And sometime next week we'll have Black Panther calendars, new Black Panther calendars, and we will have a 15-year anniversary book that Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz asked me to put it together. And we're about 40% through with it, where people can buy pages and half of pages for the 15th anniversary book, along with Black Wall Street. Once again, we got to get the vending out there to the people. 347 876 1-800-273-0123. And we're going to get Brother Mike's number out with the T-shirts and the hats. If you start buying bending tables now, start buying Black Power T-shirts, New Black Panther Party T-shirts, New Black Panther Party hats. It will help this march. And, Sean, do we have another caller?
No, sir, not yet.
Okay, so you can give Brother Mike's number out if you can pull it up.
Okay, give me 1 second. I want to say too. Don't forget about you mentioned it, but I just want to tell you all again and listen. All right, it's Black Family Convention. Black Family Convention, September 5th through 8th. That's New York City. The Black Family Convention. It's a family affair. We're pushing family. September 5th through 8th. That's in conjunction with the Million Family March 15-year anniversary. That you hear Minister Hashim talk about September 7th. To get New Black Panther Party T-shirts, the hot T-shirt that you've been seeing all around town. Serena Williams had it on. You saw Pusha T with it on, he was holding it up. You saw so many others with it. And you can have it yourself. And you can have a New Black Panther Party snapback and hopefully one day a fitted cap. New Black Panther Party T-shirts, hats, and our memorabilia. The number to call is area code 757-355-3400. One more time. That's 757-355-3400 to get your New Black Panther Party hat, T-shirt today. And them hats come in various sizes, and them shirts come in various sizes and colors. And so get yours today.
All right. And so for people who are just joining the show, friends and enemies, we're here talking about the 15th anniversary of the Million Youth March in respect and honor of the late, great mentor, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we want to send shouts out to our chairman, Malik Dulu-Shabazz, who's busy trying to keep this thing together and keep the wheels on the car. I'm so happy to be here, man, when we start talking about Black Power, Black Better Education, Black Love, National Truth, and Black Unity. It drives our enemy crazy. He don't want us talking about that. He wants us to talk about break it down and drop it like it's hot. But it's mandatory that we use the language as individuals that represent our community, and we use the resources and the show people that we're not the buffoons and clowns that they think we are. And I want to take this time to talk about September 7th, Harlem, New York, the Harlem State Office Building Plaza, 125th Street at Adam Clayton Powell.
Hey, Brother Minister, the chairman is calling in right now.
Who?
Brother Chair, National Chairman is calling.
Let him in. He's got to yield.
Yes, sir. Brother, this time, let's welcome in our National Chairman, New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Attorney at War, Dr. Malik Dulu-Shabazz, Black Power.
Black Power, man. I'm just calling in with my brothers, man, to support y'all and to support the show tonight. And to support the freedom for our men behind bars, support freedom for King Samir, and support freedom for Mikhail Muhammad, and most of all, stay on the offense and not the defense. And so I want to commend Minister Hashim and Zynga for his good work this week and the last few weeks for the Million Youth March and bringing on board several key endorsements from the hip-hop community, Nick Cannon and Bun B and Trill and others. And if y'all want to see right away what's happening prior to the website coming up, just go to my Facebook page. It's open to the public. My Facebook page is now open to the public. My link, like it wasn't open to the NSA and the FBI and all that, so hell, everybody else may see it. And that's Malik Zulu Shabazz on Facebook, Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm just going to say in a few moments before I turn it back over to y'all, I feel real good about the March reunion and I feel good about the Black Family Convention. And I feel real good going into our two-month deadline that we will have a massive unity rally, right there at the Adam Clayton Powell State Office Building. Right there, what's sometimes called the Harlem State Office Building, but really it's the Adam Clayton Powell State Office Building. And filling the streets right there on 125th Street and Adam Clayton Powell. And I'm feeling good about this convention. We're now trying to, we had the Adam Clayton Powell office building reserved for the convention. But there's so much momentum now coming forth that we may have to go up the street to one of our big churches so we can seat into the at least 1,000 to 2,000 for our convention. And so not only do we have the mass rally, but the convention is where we will get deeper and more scientific. And again, Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, who I spoke to earlier today, who is one of our best authors and teachers and advocates amongst our youth, fighting to stop the conspiracy against black boys and others, he has joined on to us. And leaders and teachers like him and Dr. Francis Crest Wilson and Tony Brower and others that we are in the process of inviting. In just a few days, you'll see the lineup for the Black Family Convention. Mike Roberts, who endorsed the Million Youth March. Yeah, he'll speak at the Million Youth March, but when a man like that who's that well-connected and that's so smart, you need to have more time with him. You need to get more instruction and guidance from him in the economic arena. And that's what the Black Family Convention is all about for three straight days on September 5th, September 6th, September 7th is the Million Youth March anniversary, and September 8th. We're getting ready and got a letter here that we're sending out to Minister Louis Farrakhan to see whether he will support the convention or the march. Either way, we want the support of Minister Louis Farrakhan. We want as much support as we can. We're after the masses. So that's all I got to say, man. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for the work you're doing.
Hey, National Chairman, don't hang up yet.
Sir.
Let me ask you, I was really, you know, I was going real hard on my lineup to give us financial support, and I was going over Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer and so many people who support us, and I just got to get a letter to them and Jamie Foxx and others. But then I started to think about it. I started to have a transformation. I said, all of these people going to help us. That's their duty. But I remember you and when you got back from Africa, we had a conversation, and you had it on Black Talk Radio. We would not go to sleep until September 9th, the day after the march and the family convention, because we got to get some money from Allstate, brother. We got to get some money from Chick-fil-A, Georgia Pacific, Prime America, UPS, Wells Fargo, SunTrust, J.P. Morgan Chase, Comcast, Charles Schwab, Bank of America, BB&T, Coca-Cola, Shelter. We cannot let these people continue to suck the money out of black community, and when we're doing something and giving our youth such hope and giving our youth such an opportunity, they have to come in and be sponsors of the black people who spend $131 billion, and I know you're going to help me get at them.
Well, I'll put it to you like this, man. This is the way I look at these blood-sucking multinational or national companies and corporations that get billions from black people for sneakers, clothes, fashions, food, or whatever. Now, I say straight up like this, they owe us reparations, and we should go down the list and give them all letters and force them to contribute. I'll force them to contribute, and we'll not put up no damn Coca-Cola banner and no damn, like the Tavis Smiley, or put up no damn Kaiser or McDonald's banner. I'm not going to give no McDevils no props, but McDevils better give up that check or we'll move on McDevils. Coca-Cola and all these other companies that exploit us. Yeah, we should get our letters together and go down the list. and the ones that exploit us and we don't want to promote but owe us, then we just go righteously and legally collect from them, or else they're going to face a blackout from us. And on the other level, people like Jamie Foxx and others that are our friends, of course, we want to give them as much play as possible. But as for these other gangsters that get gangster with us, we're going to get gangster with them.
That's right. And another thing, Attorney,
and then when they help us, we're still going to turn on them like a black Doberman pincher.
Man, let me tell you, I was looking and studying the EPA, Attorney Shabazz, the United States Environment Protection Agency. When you go on their website, most of the damage when it comes to our environment is in the African-American community. So Shell Oil and Exxon, they got to give some money to these youth, man, and these cigarette companies who got these babies breathing this secondhand smoke, killing our babies. I don't smoke cigarettes. I can't even name them, but Marlboro and Winston and Campbell and Cool, whatever they are, we got to go to all of them. And this Budweiser and this Milwaukee Best and this Coors that gets in our people's system and make them drive and get DWIs and wreck cars and kill our community, they're going to have to give back and sponsor. And we'll be working on that the rest of this week to get the letter together. That's you, I mean, and we're going to get them this letter, and we're going to demand that they show up at the ribbon cutting.
We just put this black boot in that letter. We'll talk about that offline, because on a certain level, I don't want nothing to do with none of them bastards. But on another level, I know, like you, they owe us reparations, and they owe us. And so we're going to go out here and collect from everybody that's sucking our blood. And that's about it.
Well, you know,
I mean,
when I was looking at the 100 black men and I was looking at the different black organizations that should support us, that I was framing letters for, and they will, I just can't help but think about how much money Cadillac getting from them babies' mama and daddy.
But outside of money, which is important, I do want to say this as I turn it back over to you all. It's important, and for those that will hear this broadcast, as it's going to be coming on every week and night, number one, all roads going to lead to Sylvia's. On 126th Street and Lenox on Malcolm X on Monday night, July 1st, Monday night, July 1st, everybody in the house in Harlem, New York for the Free King Samir rally. Mr. Hashim Nzinga, who you're listening to, he will be there at this Free King Samir rally. King Samir was working on our security for the Million Youth March, helping to make sure that what went down yesterday won't go down today, and that we're well-trained and prepared. And they know that when they captured one of our top men on security for the Million Youth March, that they were in fact trying to cripple the Million Youth March and cripple the new Black Panther Party, which is the force behind the march. So we want to push back and counterattack on Monday at Sylvia's Restaurant and bail our man out of jail and get back on track. And so Minister Hashim Nzinga will be there Monday, 7 o'clock, Sylvia's. Councilman Charles Barrett from Brooklyn, New York, will be there Monday. We expect to hear from Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. James McIntosh. They say the Moors are coming through. Brother Polite from New Covenant coming through. Brother Sarnetta will be in the house. Abdul Haq from D12 will be in the house. The brothers and sisters from Newark, New Jersey, and some from POP will be in the house. And New York's toughest of the tough will be in the house. Unifying now, as the enemy has attacked their brother organization, community organization, New Black Panther Party. And so all roads lead to Sylvia's on Monday. And if you want to help Mikhail Muhammad in Florida, I want you to call, because they're having a fundraiser on Saturday. They're having a fundraiser on Saturday to get Mikhail the right lawyer and get him the hell out of jail and get on Zimmerman's ass, is the one that we need to be on. He is the one that needs to be in prison, not falsely in prison, but righteously in prison. And he's sitting down there in Sanford, Florida, because our base has been crippled. We got to get our brother out. We need him out now more than ever. We love him, Mikhail Muhammad. That's 904. Take this number, 904. If you want to help get him out, put your money where your mouth is, 904-613-0729. 904-613-0729. And also soon is our former national youth leader, Brother Hannibal in New York. Brother Hannibal in New York is unfortunately locked down on some serious charges, some damn murder charges in New York. And we got to get Hannibal out. We don't believe that any of them charges are true at all about Hannibal, and that none of them can be proven in a court of law. And we got to free Hannibal. And so stand by, because fundraising and other direct efforts for him are coming up at the end of July, according to the wishes of his mother and the family. Okay? And also, whatever you can do to help Michelle, Sister Michelle from Orlando, Michelle Williams, you can still call James Muhammad also, 904-613-0729. We need Michelle out of jail also. We need Michelle to wail and wail on these enemies, not be in jail. All right? And so, look, man, the struggle continues. But the bottom line of all of this talk, as I leave, it's about our youth. It's about our future. It's about black consciousness, black unity, black love, black solidarity, black education, and about what can be built from this Million Youth March and Black Family Convention. The possibilities are endless. I turn it back to you, gentlemen. I appreciate you. Love you. Say Black Power.
Black Power. That was the national chairman coming in to the program, and as you follow his instructions with the phone numbers to help our brothers and sisters be released, and the Project X continues. The Project X continues, and that's to X out a lot of this police harassment, false arrestment, false arresting us like they've been doing since slavery, and using the media to make us look like the boogeyman when the boogeyman is behind the camera. We're talking about the Million Youth March, September 7th in Harlem. All roads, all buses, all trains, all planes, all cars, all bicycles, all motor scooters, all skateboards are leading to Harlem, New York, September 7th, the State Office Building, Plaza, 125th Street, and Adam Clayton Powell. And September 5th, get there early for the National Black Family Convention. It's going to be something that's going to make history. Your vendors get ready, because we're bringing Black Wall Street back. Black Wall Street. If you're going vending, 347-876-0123. We're going to give our youth their time in the sun. We're going to give our youth a bright future. We're going to give our youth an opportunity to be entrepreneurs. We're going to give our youth a chance to show the programs that have provided them their business plans and assisted them in their education. And some of them are now entrepreneurs that you will hear from. Some are now technological geniuses that you will hear from, who have youth from all over participating, showing you that the future for African Americans are bright, showing you that our youth are hungry, showing our youth have been doing their homework, have been burning the midnight oil, have been making them A's and B's, have been working hard. And we're going to challenge America to do a better job with our youth. We're going to challenge the departments of parks and recreations to get some of these parks open, these pools open, these recreation centers open, so our youth can have programs during the summer, so they won't have this idle time. We're going to challenge these colleges to get back on their job with better recruiting efforts, better efforts to get the scholarship programs to our youth mailboxes early. In the ninth grade, our youth supposed to have a college plan checklist, which includes, I'm going to put it up on the website. It's too long to read because
sisters and brothers been sending me stuff since I sent out an email on college planning, a checklist that will be on the Million Youth March website, starting in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade, right on into college. We will have tutoring service on the Million Youth March website. We're going to turn this Million Youth March into an institution that will give our youth a car, a vehicle to ride in from now on. It just won't end September 7th. We're going to make sure Khalid Muhammad, our honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, name lives. And we're going to challenge, like I say, politicians and the government and these correctional facilities and these sheriffs and these police who we pay their salaries to stop brutalizing our youth, stop killing our youth, stop targeting our youth. Arrest some of them Japanese. Arrest some of them people from China. Arrest some of them people from India. Arrest some of them people from Germany and Russia and all them other countries that come over here stealing and ripping off the neighborhoods who y'all just don't happen to ever look after because you're so busy looking for the African-American who you think are low-lying fruit. We will no longer accept being chased in our own communities, being stereotyped. And we will no longer accept our youth being shot down like Trayvon Martin in Stanford, Florida. And this big old fat killer of our baby then gained 100 pounds because white people have gave him $1 million in a bank account to eat steaks and lobster and hire $79,000 worth of security because he needs security when you go into black and when you go into a community and shoot a 17-year-old child who eating Skittles and drinking iced tea down in the middle of the day. You need security when you take a baby from his mama and father and you think you're going to sit behind, stand your ground, it's going to be a shaky ground. It's going to be a shaky ground. It's going to be a shaky stand your ground. Eric Holder, call that number. Do your job. I know you're working on it. Do your job because there's no way in hell this mass murderer who walked up to this baby and shot him in his chest while he screamed and hollered. Supposedly even if it was a white Trayvon Martin and a black man, he wouldn't even have stood a chance in Stanford, Florida. They would have drug him out of that jail and lynched him in broad daylight at noon. So the Million Youth March is getting down with the Trayvon Martin case, supporting his family, supporting his little brother. This little brother got a permanent memorial they're trying to build in Stanford, Florida for Trayvon Martin. And that will be on our website, how you can donate money to Trayvon to help them build a statue for we can always remember our little brother who they showed his body shot and blood running from his body the other day in court. And them crackers going to sit in that courtroom and try to use all these tricks they've been using for 100 years, 400, 500 years to act like this cracker is innocent. That little jury better work. That little jury better work. They better do their job. So we back reminding you all who just tuned in that we're on our way to Harlem. We're on our way to Harlem this Monday to do a rally at the state office building to free King Samir. Then we're on our way right back to Harlem September 7th and the 5th through the 8th for the National Black Family Convention. And for vending, one more time, 347-876-0123, Kucha Chakalia. Let's share some money with each other at the Million Youth March. There's going to be thousands and thousands of black people, and we're going to show black love and black unity and black power as our national chairman has so beautifully laid out. And we're having a website up, www.millionyouthmarch.org. It's going to be strong. And you tell your friends to start tuning in to Black Power Radio at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, 646-478-4447. And on Mondays from 8 o'clock on, 646-478-447 with our bad man, Brother Sean Kweli. He be holding it down. He out doing Rush Limbaugh. He's out doing Hannity. He's out doing them. Y'all better get the understanding. Black Power Radio is the place to be. So we're talking about the agenda of the Million Youth March. We're not just talking. We're planning. We're planning to give these young people a platform, their day in the sun. They're going to tell you about technology. They're going to tell you about communication that me and Attorney Shabazz can't tell you about. They're going to talk about their psychology degrees and their science degrees. They're going to tell you about their educational degrees and their entrepreneurships. They're going to tell you about their foundations and their money management skills. And they're going to tell you about financing Black America. They're going to tell you about banking and investing. I'm talking about young entrepreneurs and young people that we're going to bring to that stage, going to tell you about community development. Some of these young kids are running for politicians. I mean, running for city council in their cities and running for different educational boards. We're going to find them all over America and bring them to the stage September 7th at the Million Youth March. We're going to bring some from South Africa. We're going to bring them through satellite or by plane from Bermuda, from the Bahamas, from Jamaica, from Zimbabwe, from Ghana. It will be an international day for our youth that you will never, ever seen in American history. We're talking about decision-making, and we're talking about a resolution, a government, and a constitution that the Million Youth March will build for our youth can use as a platform from here on out. And Brother Sean, if you want to give the number on brothers and sisters that want to buy Black Panther wear, the T-shirts and the hats, to go, these funds go to some of the things we talked about tonight that's good for Black people, you can give Brother Mike's number again if you don't mind.
Okay, for those of you who are interested one more time in getting one of our new Black Panther Party T-shirts, one of our new Black, or not one, but plenty of our new Black Panther Party T-shirts and all of our hats and the different brands and versions that we got, you call our brother, our National Minister of Commerce, our brother Mike. The number to call is 757-355-3400. That's 757-355-3400 to get your new Black Panther Party T-shirt, hats, and memorabilia. We got a couple more callers on there too, Brother Minister.
Okay, we can get them callers in, and let's give Brother Akbar, our National Minister of Communication, for the Million Youth March number out, 240-464-1560 for people who have questions after the show. Let's respect our guests, and let's see what they got to say. Black Power.
Black Power. Number here, area code 845-706. 845-706, you're on live with Black Power Radio, Minister Hashim Nzinger, the National Chief of Staff. Give us your comment or question, Black Power.
Black Power, brothers, how you doing? It's Brother Ismael Shabazz.
Wow.
Yes, I'm fired up, brothers. Good to see y'all bringing the Panther alive, bringing it back alive. And the youth was always important. I'm trying to meet with the ministers in this area so they can set a bus with youth down there. You know, and I'm also I'm getting the Panther Cubs. In 3 weeks, I'm starting the Panther Cubs up here to start teaching our babies, you know, mathematics, science, all that. You know, and I'm also encouraging, I'm running for office, an alderman in my ward, to show the young brothers that we can step up and stand up. And,
that's what we're talking about.
You know, that support me, brothers. You know, I love what you're doing, man. My heart is warm, man. I feel like a young kid again when I was 16 and joined the party. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm glad I'm part of it. And I hope I see you Monday, brother. But I'll definitely be there in September. Black Power.
Black Power, good to hear from you, brother. We're going to get your information out. And if you can email us or email me at HashimNzinger@Yahoo and give me that information, we'll give it as we build this website. We put information up there like that so we can build this political base.
Yep, sir.
You know, the politicians. They decide where the money gonna go and which side of town the money go on. We needed to stay on our side of town.
That's right. That's why I'm in it. A lot of money in this ward that goes elsewhere. I'm trying to keep it back in this ward for our youth, give them jobs. You know, give
them
training.
Now, what city is that, brother?
I'm in Kingston, New York. Upstate, about 90 miles from New York. Little country.
I was at the National Conference of Black Mayors. And there's a couple of black mayors upstate New York that's really strong black man. I'm going to try to connect you with them. I got to pull out all their cards. But I'm telling you, brother, we're going out to the black mayors.
they have to show respect for our youth. You know, the black mayors run the police, and the police chief, sheriff,
that's
the most
right.
time elected. But the police are the ones who harass and chase our youth from pillar to pillar. And it's so much stereotyping going on now with the black youth. I mean, we wear our pants down, but we might be coming from the library. We might be coming from the job. We might be coming from a tutoring session. We might be coming from a violin session. We might be coming from authoring a book with a friend. We have to have the same respect as every American citizen by the people we pay, called the police. And when they cross the line and they become dirty investigators, they become dirty police, we call them pigs. And that's what you are if you're disrespecting, not following the law yourself, stereotyping, infiltrating our community, dropping guns where they don't supposed to be, getting drugs out of your trunk, putting them where they're supposed to be, setting up our babies because we're not strong enough in the courtroom now. We got what we call court-appointed attorneys who paid by the state. How in the hell are they going to defend our babies? We got the highest incarceration on juveniles ever in history, mainly because the DAs move up in power by incarcerating babies and incarcerating people and giving them felonies, and that's what makes you one hell of a person. When the community supposed to be based on if you can get crime and if you can teach the babies early in the early educational stages not to be criminals, not to be in your justice system. A DA shouldn't be so proud that his county got the most felonies. That make you look like a damn fool. You should lose your job. And the mayor should lose his job. And the school board should lose their job. And the city councilman should lose their job. And the police should lose their job. If you can't take these babies and you take them right out of the womb of their mamas and they go into your educational facilities, they go in your educational institutions, and then they end up in your jail cell, then you will fail them and fail yourself.
Yes, sir, I agree with that. I'm also a paralegal, and I do, you know, I go in the courts and make lawyers do things, and I advocate in the school system. But with, in this area, our kids are a source of money. They get $4,000, $6,000 every time they arrest our kid, and that just got to stop because their stop and frisk is illegal, and they're just using sending our babies. 16-year-old got 12 years for 20 a crack. That's ridiculous. But we got the criminals, man, the police. They breaking the law, man. A cop stole $450,000. He got 3 to 9. Something's wrong with that.
Brother,
you know, I'm trying to stop that.
I just said earlier in the show, brother, if you Google Enron, which sent America into a crisis, sent the banking institutions into a crisis, sent the stock market to a crisis, the cracker who was behind all of that at Enron got 24 years for crashing America. And on Monday, they just reduced his sentence by 10 years. But they'll catch a black man like you say and portray him as Dunwayne and Jesse James and Bunny and Clyde because of their TV and their cameras and how buffoon they got American people. As long as you show white people in America, you're handling the boogeyman, which the boogeyman has always been portrayed as Sambo, that nigga, that coon. And as long as you put him in handcuffs, as long as you got him on the ground, as long as you got him homeless, as long as you arrested him, we're fine. When your white shirt, blue tie, blue suit, wearing businessman that's going up that elevator is breaking your country right before your eyes, and you just as poor as we are, and you up there clapping at Channel 5 and Channel 2, this is why we got to go full-fledged. This is why the black family got to come full-fledged. This is why the black youth got to come out of the closet, got to come from under the bed, got to come from out of those rooms and head to Harlem September 7th for the Million Youth March, because when your youth are strong, the foundation of your future is going to be okay.
Right on. I agree with that 100%. We love you too, brother. And I'm proud, man, to be in the ranks with you, brother. Black power.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
All right. One more caller here, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Ishmael, for that call. Next caller, Eric Cole, 347-218. 347-218. You're on live with Minister Hashim and Zinga and Black Power Radio. Go ahead with your question, your comment.
Black Power, brother. And Black Power to Brother Ishmael. I talk to him on the regular. That's my brother from upstate. And like I said, this Mill Youth March means a lot. And this fundraiser for my brother King Samir is very important too. Get that brother out of jail. We're gonna do that. That's definite. You know, I put in some work with this brother, and I'm definitely, you know, pushing for that. You know, get him some money for his phone calls and everything else. Get him out of jail. Get him, Hannibal, and Brother McHale out of jail. This is ridiculous, you know, and all the political prisoners that are in there, innocent and behind bars for nonsense that these devils charged them with. So, you know, as far as that goes, I'm looking forward to the Million Youth March again, and we're pushing to keep this going, and Black Power for all black people and all power to the people. Black Power.
Black Power to you, brother. We appreciate you and love you to death. But we love you to life.
Love you too, brother.
We don't
love
you
too, brother.
Stay living for you to fight these crackers with us. I want to say this about King Samir, about Brother McHale, about Hannibal, and about Brother Thutmose, wherever he's at. Two of the ground sources for the Million Youth March brought Dr. Khalid Muhammad to Harlem. The last speech he gave in that February of that year, 2001. And they brought him to Harlem, and he said revolution is the only solution, enough Negro stuff. And in that speech, he laid out the foundation of us doing for self. And in my journey with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, as I walked through my house and looked at this big old picture of him, he was a man of dignity, a man of respect. Went to school out there in Houston at Yates and made A's, captain on the football team, quarterbacking, leading, point guard on the basketball team, captain, leading, great debater, went all over the state of Texas, crushing people in debate. He was a great debater right from the start. Evaluated everything. Thought through everything like a human think tank. Went on to Xavier. Went on to Harvard and even Yale. And out at California, Long Beach. Went to the highest you can go in education. But came back as Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz did from Howard. Came back to the black community. Got with Minister Farrakhan. And got some real teaching, and became a supreme captain over soldiers, became a national assistant of one of the finest organizations ever to come to America through Honorable Elijah Muhammad and others. And his dream of this Million Youth March came true because he was wise. He was attacked. He was a battleship. He was attacked at the Million Youth March because he beat the system. He didn't supposed to be able to, with America spending millions of dollars to crush his name, with the Senate trying to stop him from being able to speak, with everybody saying he was an outcast, he was an anti-this and anti-that and anti-Semitic, and the Jews news on him daily. He was not supposed to maneuver through all of the roadblocks and bring the Million Youth March to Harlem. And when he did it, and when black people stood up and financed it, and when Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz went to the courts of New York and beat Giuliani, victory, Million Youth March. When Viola Plummer and December 12 and others, many, many others, all came together, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. James Small, so many, man. I start naming them, some people are going to be mad. Came together on that beautiful Monday, Labor Day, and brought Harlem the Million Youth March. Went from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock with no glitz. Black people beating drums,
black people smiling, black people celebrating, black people telling their war stories, black people talking about their future, black people saying we have a foundation. And then the old no